hello, fellow baseball and fantasy baseball nuts. Big one, welcome to Behind Home Plate. With me, Johnny Gould, episode 5. We've got the best seat in the house behind home plate. And as always, joined by the fantasy baseball legend, that is Mr. James Holden. Jimbo, lovely to have you company. How are you, buddy?
I'm really good. I am really good. And I'm loving the very smart new branding that you have behind your handsome head there with the new behind home plate graphics.
Well, obviously, unless anybody's seeing this on YouTube, then they're not going to appreciate the fact that we have got the new sexy behind home plate. And it only took me about 3 hours to work out the technicalities, but lovely of you to mention it. You've been well.
Yeah, no. Big thanks to Dave, who sorted that for us. But yeah, we are kind of like one of those couples in matching raincoats or something out in the National Trust property, aren't we, with our matching branding.
I've been accused of wearing a raincoat out and about on many occasions, but less of that. Let's focus on fantasy baseball. Lovely, as always, to be talking fantasy baseball with you, buddy. Not so lovely when it's like a week, 10 days in, and five teams that I've drafted in five separate leagues, happy with every draft, walked away thinking, I'm competitive, and they all stink, Jimbo. So I, more than any of our listeners, need your wisdom. And of course, the big plus for us was, of course, our first ever inaugural rookie fantasy baseball league, courtesy of Behind Home Plate. We had 18 willing participants, and we had a great time. What a great draft it was. I absolutely loved it.
It was brilliant. Just seeing people getting passionate and that whole thing about suddenly having an interest in players who don't play for your favorite team, etc. And everyone just really getting that kind of fantasy bug was just amazing. And plus the quality of chat during the draft was incredibly high.
It's
slightly amazed anybody got any players done with the amount of abuse you were taking, Johnny, but all in good fun.
So, hey, yeah. Jimbo, a career of receiving and giving, so it's absolutely fine. I do have to say, I have to offer a heartfelt apology live on air on this episode 5 Behind Home Plate to my dear friend Mike Dowling, the UK's number one Giants fan, because I've been giving Mike some advice pre the draft. He is a total rookie of fantasy baseball, but a massive baseball fan, and been a viewer of Channel 5 and a listener to the podcast, the Johnny and Josh Show, etc. And I told Mike, look, to help you out, mate, just queue up some players that you like. Go and find those players, particularly the sort of middle order players. Queue them up, bish bosh. What I didn't mention was that if he missed his clock, they automatically went to the top of his auction list, and that was the person he drafted. So, of course, you and I are sitting there, round one, and he's drafted Yasmani Grandal. And that was cause for much celebration and amazing.
Great play. But I've never been in a draft with that many catches taken in round one. So yeah,
but that was why. Because you were sending me all sorts of emojis like, what the hell? And that was why. It was all my fault. So a huge apology to Mike.
I thought players would start at the top. But no, it was good. It was excellent. So yeah. And more broadly then, Johnny, how did your drafts go? Who did you end up with loads of?
Well, only one player that I absolutely loved that I actually ended up drafting in virtually every single team, and that was Yordan Alvarez, the DH in Houston. And you're absolutely right. You're not a fan of taking a DH because it hogs up the utility bench. And it's a really good point, because I'm now finding that it's a bit of a problem, is this inability to move him. But I'm still convinced that he's going to have a monster season. I'm convinced he's going to hit 40-plus home runs. And I wanted him just there to sort of secure my power outlet in each and every one of the team. He's not the problem, mate. It's everyone else. Everyone else is stinking the place up. I can't buy a win.
I've got him in one league. I think he's amazing. I think actually Houston, possibly we've underrated in terms of how we've talked pre-season. And I do have him in one place because just the power he has, as you say.
But you've been taking the mick out of the state of his knees because he's a young man with a few knee problems.
Yeah, that's the risk. I'm in nine leagues. I have him in one because the risk is too high to me. But he might win you one of those leagues. And I'd be obviously delighted if he did, John.
Well, I don't know about you, but the rest of my picks have proved an absolute hogswash. What about you? I know that certainly we were flying high in the Bat Nerds and Bat Flips and Nerds podcast invitational draft, which we did, which I loved. And at one stage, we were like 50 points clear at the table, top of the table. I think we're down to fifth as we're recording on the ninth.
I think we'll talk about why that might be. There was a little bit of a co-manager error.
Okay, yes, we'll get to that. I'm going to have to take my medicine. We'll explain a little bit more about that a little bit later on. But let's focus, first of all, what we've got, because we've only got 30 minutes. We're going to be flashing through big time. Loads to look forward to, Jimbo. We've got the good news, the early surprise packages. We're going to be focusing on a number of those. The bad news, And that is, of course, injuries are dominating fantasy baseball at the moment, and injuries to big, big names as well. And favourite news, some early suitcase predictions. For those new to the podcast, James has given the challenge of coming up with players that are drafted in a certain limited number of teams amongst ESPN leagues. So basically those sort of players that are flying below the radar. And then, of course, I'm hoping you're going to come up with a Hail Mary. And so obviously we also want to hear from you, your questions. And I know we've had a load this week, keeping Jimbo fit.
Yeah,
very
busy. Johnny, we've got a lot of new listeners this year. We were enjoying the podcast last year. It was fun. But whereas now we're having to do a lot more seriously because we've got a lot more listeners. So if you are new and listening for the first time, a massive thank you. And equally, we've got quite a few from some pretty far-flung places around the world. We would love to hear from you if you are listening in a particularly far-flung or interesting place.
I'll tell you what, we'll offer up a prize to the most bizarre place, the most entertaining place that anybody gets in touch. Let us know where you're getting in touch from, and we'll choose one of the more extreme and entertaining ones. I'll dig into my wardrobe upstairs in the attic, and we'll find some baseball garments. And we have had loads of questions, which I know have kept you busy, Jim, and that's great. If you want to get in touch, the email is behindhomeplate@gmail.com. We have our very own email. My God, we're taking this seriously. Or, of course, you can contact us on Twitter, which is possibly the easiest way, @BHPPod. That's Behind Home Plate, @BHPPod. Or you can contact us directly. We're more than happy to deal with that as well. My Twitter handle is @JohnnyMGould. M is for Michael. And Jimbo is much sexier. It's @Jam99. Sounds like a rock star, whereas I'm clearly a Neil Diamond fan. Right, let's move on swiftly. Section number one, exciting start, Jimbo. And I'm going to mention one name. He's not bad. He's Akil Badu. I'm loving it. He's my new favorite baseball player because, well, one, I saw the footage of his first ever at-bat. First pitch he's received, bang, home run. His whole family, mum, dad, both his brothers, going crazy.
Nice.
In the stands. Brilliant. That's what I love about baseball. That's what it's all about. But he's delivered since in what is a terrible team that is the Detroit Tigers. He's delivered a grand slam. He's walk-off single, et cetera, et cetera. The man's a legend. I love Akil Badu. He's my new favourite player.
Good, good. And along with his name, there have been a number of others. So, yeah, there's been Akil Badu, there's been Yermin Mercedes.
The Yerminator. They're calling him the Yerminator, Jimbo.
The Yerminator.
The Yerminator. You've got to love that.
Yeah. I mean, two great bats. I mean, they are known. They've come through. But this season, I think we're going to see so many more of these. We didn't have a proper season last year. We didn't have minor leagues. I think there's going to be an explosion of there are going to be more Yerminators throughout the season. And more pitchers coming from anywhere. So we talked before season, you know, was it Kirby Yates? Was it Julian Romano as the closer in Toronto? And suddenly from nowhere, like as if he's coming straight out of Downton Abbey, comes Julian Merriweather, who looks like he's got the closer gig in Toronto. So really interesting. There'll be loads more of these. And I sent you beforehand as well, Razzball.com, excellent site for baseball and fantasy baseball. They have a constant player rater, so you can see who are the players who have delivered the most fantasy value this season. And you look through the top 20 there, and there's some fantastic names, aren't there, Johnny?
There certainly are. And I know in the top 20, my dear friend Akil Badu, he's not bad, he's Badu, is in there at about, what, I think 19th. My boy Jordan, who's the only man delivering for me, is at 14. But I'm looking at the top 10. Top of the list, Nick Castellanos of Cincinnati. I'm gutted. I did think about drafting him. Didn't draft him in a single team. He's top of the pile. An old-timer like J.D. Martinez, who I thought was washed up, he's in second place. You love Nate Lowe. He's in third. Tyler Naquin, Yermin Mercedes, you already mentioned. Ryan McMahon of Colorado. In
tell me about Ryan McMahon. Do you have him anywhere, Johnny?
Oh God! Right, I'm gonna have to front up here to all our listeners. Okay, you know that James and I are in this very serious league with serious podcasters and serious fantasy players.
It's a serious league with proper people who know what they're doing.
So we had to draft 40 players, which took us out of our comfort zone. It went fantastically well in the first few games. You know, the first few days we were top of the league. We couldn't believe our luck. But at the beginning, you have to set your lineup for the whole week. And I rather foolishly, with like an hour to go before that deadline was locked, had a quick look, made the most ridiculous decision of my life and dropped out of our lineup without consulting my partner, Ryan McMahon. There is no excuse. The man is this week the seventh most valuable fantasy player, and he's been sitting on our bench, and I am to blame. So I'm offering you some serious apologies to you, Jimbo.
No, I will never change
the lineup without your go-ahead or your say-so ever again. That is a problem.
We are co-pilots. We are, you know.
Yeah, but I chucked you out of the cabin. I mean, I was chatting up the air hostess and doing whatever I wanted to do, you know, and be making decisions for myself. Whereas
never
I
will any fantasy player come between you and I, Johnny.
Oh, that's very sweet of you, mate. That's very sweet of you. But deep down inside, I know you've been grinding your teeth with annoyance, particularly on the back of that night when he hit 3 home runs in one game and you were tweeting me with his name and a few emojis and a few exclamations. Anyway, that's yesterday's news. Let's focus on the future.
But more seriously, there are some really interesting names. And I think the key in the first couple of the weeks of the season is to identify who in that list is for real and who in that list is not for real.
Yeah.
So, yes, okay. You mentioned Nate Lowe. I think, yeah, maybe, you know, is this the first ever trade that Tampa Bay have been on the wrong end of? But, you know, potentially, I think Nate Lowe might keep this going for Texas. I think Jordan has started strong. I do think he will, you know, if he can keep those knees intact, I think he'll be a great buy. Corbin Burns is there in the top 20. I think, you know, he's only had 2 starts this season, but already we are very clear that Corbin Burns is for real and is heading fast towards a top 10 starter season. So that's the interesting bit. Other people, I'm not sure. You know, I love the Yerminator. I love the name. But if somebody would trade me a top 100 player for the Yerminator now, I would absolutely take that.
Can I make one observation? I'm really interested in your feedback on this, Jimbo. I look at that list. And it makes me realize that perhaps one issue that I've never considered when drafting a player in fantasy baseball is to look at the division they're in. Is it any coincidence, for instance, that you have players playing for Cincinnati? We already know Nick Castellanos is doing well. Jonathan India, hardly known, second baseman, again, playing for the Reds. You suddenly think those are weak divisions, they've got weak matchups, and they're scoring runs for fun, even though the teams aren't rated to be really competitive sides who people think are going into the postseason necessarily, or certainly not going to go and win the World Series. Is that an issue that perhaps something it's very easy to overlook, that just because the team's not necessarily a good one, if it's in a division that plays a lot against bad teams with bad pitching, that should be a big factor in your decision-making process?
I think certainly it can give you an edge. I don't think it would define me. I'm not going to shy away from, I'm going to have Gerrit Cole nowhere because I don't take pitchers that high, as you know, but it wouldn't make me shy away from Gerrit Cole just because he's in the AL East. It wouldn't make me shy away from Max Fried just because he's in the NL East. But certainly there's an edge there. You know, there's a lot of, but we talked a lot about the AL Central with Detroit. I mean, the Cleveland lineup looks horrible this year. So anybody pitching against Cleveland, against Detroit, there are going to be opportunities there. So certainly there is an edge. The Cubs have been very quiet to begin with. So certainly I think that there's an appeal there that you would feel a lot safer and there are a lot less risky matchups in both of the central divisions at the moment than in the others. But, you know, in 5 years' time, it'll be the West or it'll be the East. I think it does change.
Jimbo, you've mentioned the Cubs, which is obviously a cold start. Atlanta have had a really tough start. Oakland Athletics have had a really tough start, deemed to be good size, competitive size. Should we be worried as fantasy managers about cold starts?
In a word, 80% no. The Braves have a fantastic lineup. They got rolled over by the Phillies and it may be the best thing that they could possibly do. They then had to go to Washington. I think generally it may have, you know, put a bit of reality into their system. So the Braves still have a great lineup. All of those hitters, I'm pretty confident, will do well. So in general, no, it's just unfortunate and it's annoying. As a fantasy manager, you know, even if it's your own team, there's always some team that gets hot in the second half of the season. And that's great if that's your real team. There will be somebody who comes from like a below 500 record who will end up in the playoffs this year. There is every year. From a fantasy point of view, it's really annoying because actually a couple of those players, you will have drafted the wrong player. And there will be a couple of people who have a season like JD Martinez, who you just mentioned, had last year. Somebody would have drafted him in the top 25 and he delivers you a, you know, outside the top 100 season. So there will be some of those. The difficulty really from fantasy is that you've got to make up those stats later. So even if your players, you know, somebody like Marcell Ozuna, who started, you know, really quietly, even Freddie Freeman started quite quietly, he will get his stats by the end of the year. I'll be absolutely certain about that. But somebody else, some other manager, is getting a Yermin Mercedes start. They're getting a Tyler Naquin start. Tyler Naquin is not going to continue at this rate. But that manager's got that Tyler Naquin. They can dump Tyler Naquin and pick up somebody else. And that's the real, you're already behind. It's fine. We're in week one, we're in week two. But if this is still the case at the end of April, you're just making it much harder for yourself. So ideally, you would get off to a strong start.
One mention, I don't know if you've mentioned him already, Julian Merriweather. I mean, when I looked at the name, I thought, my God, he sounds like some bloke living in the Cotswolds wearing tweed. Yet he's a baseball player and a bloody good one. And more importantly, from a fantasy perspective, has suddenly become a valued asset.
Yeah. Yes, there will be more. There will be many more names for you to laugh at over the course of this year, Johnny. I think that's the key point for anybody listening.
You've got to love it, though.
Julian Merriweather. I said, have you not noticed I've picked him up in 40? No, I mean, I have been fortunate to pick him up in several teams, but I've lost a lot of closers already this year. So it's even more of a crapshoot, if we can say that, than it normally is on the closer carousel this year.
Jimbo, I'm going to go slightly off script here because I do want your opinion on this. There was a lot of talk pre-season about the juice ball, the non-juice ball, supposedly taking a bit of an edge off it. I saw some stats earlier. 2019, at this stage of the season, one home run every 26.9 at-bats. That went to 28.8 at-bats in 2020. This year, there's one home run in every 30.7 at-bats. That's quite a significant difference in 2 years. That's, what, 3-4 at-bats more it's taking to get a home run. Would suggest there's some truth, that they've taken a bit of the juice out of this ball. It's that much harder. What's your thoughts?
Two things. One, April is always quite quiet. So it's colder. It's harder to hit home runs.
But those stats were taken from April in previous seasons. Okay, they were. So it is directly comparable.
I think there was some footage somebody said of Trevor Story actually this morning, and it was showing a number of hits, and Trevor Story's had sort of four hits that are looking like they're flying out of the ground, but fell just short of the warning track. So there is anecdotal evidence, unlike Story's about four home runs short. So from what I've seen, yes, it would appear that the power is coming off the bat, but the ball is not flying quite as far. But equally, again, we are literally 8 days into the season.
Okay. Right.
I'd like a bigger sample size.
Okay. a true statistician talking there.
Well, yeah,
I'm not going to take anything seriously.
I love to sit on that fence. As you know, if there's anything I can do.
I've never known anybody with bigger splinters in his backside than James Holden. Okay, well, let's move on. Sector number two is injuries. We need to pick some out to discuss it. It's ironic, isn't it, that it's the Grand National weekend. I love the Grand National. It's been a big family affair, as I know it is for many families in the UK. And if you're an international listener and you have no idea what I'm talking about, the Grand National is the most iconic horse race over enormous fences, over 4.5 miles with 40 runners. It's an absolute cavalry charge and it's wonderfully entertaining. Red Rum, of course, the most famous winner of all time. But as with the Grand National, very, very rarely do you get more than about 15 finishers. So you have a lot of horses pulling up or falling because it is a real test, just like a baseball season. And there's the segue. I know a lot of people wondering, what on earth is the relevance? But there is the segue because
I'll come back in the room now, Johnny. Johnny's finished his Grand National story. So,
Sorry about that. Yeah. But there is a host of top 100. Baseball players already out. They haven't even got to Beecher's Brook. They haven't even got to the chair. They haven't even done the first lap, and they're out, and they're out for significant periods of time. Let's start with the top middle infielders. I mean, Tim Anson, Ketel Marte, who had a flying start, Ke'Bryan Hayes, everybody was talking about him. The biggest one of the lot, Fernando Tatis, for some people, number one draft pick, injured. And the one I know that's personally of much pain for you, Josh Donaldson, third base, one at bat. Who did you draft? Yes, love it.
I was so pleased with that. I got him from $1 when I thought everybody was looking the other way. I thought, fantastic. OBP League, $1, Josh Donaldson, could be rebounding, could be 30 home runs. And he literally manages one at bat. He did manage a hit, so he's rocking his, like, you know, 1,000 average. But
Jimbo, one at bat for $1. On that basis, most players that don't get many injuries in the season are going to get like 500 or 600 at bats. That's cost you the equivalent of your whole budget. And again,
it's painful. I should also make a shout. So I play in a keeper league with some guys. It's called the Standard League. Most of them are in America, a couple in Canada. Really nice group of guys. And in that league, I think I'm already up to 6 players on the injured list. So yeah, it's not just Donaldson, and it's a whole.
So you're getting your excuses in nice and early.
I'm getting my excuses in that particular league. Other leagues I've been pretty fortunate, but in the Standard League, I'm already, like, you know, well out of the running. So yes, trade off is absolutely accepted for keepers for next year.
Well, buddy, if Tatis is a big enough name in the top middle infielders that are injured, what about the outfielders? Betts, Mookie Betts, Billinger. We're obviously hopeful that those are only short-term injuries. And Aaron Judge, how does anybody draft Aaron Judge with any sense of confidence. He's got so much potential, so much talent. We all know that if he can stay healthy, he'll be one of the greatest players out there. And yet he just seems incapable of staying healthy.
Absolutely. I mean, it makes a lot of sense. You can see why the Yankees maybe signed Brett Gardner, why they haven't signed, haven't traded away Clint Frazier for pitching, because I think they need that depth in the outfield. Aaron Judge is an absolutely amazing, sensational baseball player. And from a fantasy perspective, the power he has is incredible. But yeah, we haven't drafted him anywhere. I don't have him anywhere else, simply because he's just too unreliable. I think he's amazing. I think it's a huge shame for all of baseball that he can't stay fit. So hopefully he'll make it back. Tatis, I do have him. I'm bitterly disappointed. He fell actually to pick six in one league. And I thought, oh my God, this is amazing. I can get Tatis at pick six. Real shame. And I'm really worried about that shoulder. He might come back. I would be astonished if he was the player we were expecting him to be when he comes back. So as a Tatis owner, I would be looking to trade Tatis if I could. And if anybody offered me, to be honest, any other shortstop in the top 100, I'd think about it pretty seriously at the moment.
And if you're talking of owners, what about real owners? What about the Padre owners? What do you think they should be doing? Should they be shutting him down for the season? Because he's too good a talent to be risking his long-term future, surely.
I can see why they're not. The rest of their team is incredibly strong this year. That they are built to get to the playoffs and ideally win a World Series this year.
Yeah,
having Tatis in your team is going to make that an awful lot more certain. So I would be surprised if they didn't give him a few weeks off, give him a month off, try to bring him back. If it doesn't work, then he might well go for surgery to help him. You know, he's just signed a very long-term contract, so it's not like they're out of this in a year. And he will be there to help them win many others. But this is a good year for them. They've got good hitting. They've got good pitching. They really need a fit and healthy Tatis. So I imagine they'll give it a whirl.
Jibba, when you talk injuries, you expect injuries with pitchers. They are so much more prone to being injured. And yet with such enormous names coming out of the hitting lineups already, by comparison, there have been some inevitable injuries in the pitching state. They're not quite of the same caliber, though. James Paxton, I know, who's gone off for Tommy John surgery. Trevor Rosenthal, of course. I think that's thoracic.
Friend of the show, Trevor Rosenthal.
Your greatest ever Hail Mary. Well, which is a real shame because we've got affection for him, obviously.
Well, also, he's had a thoracic outlet surgery. It sounds horrific. You have to have a rib removed and a whole lot of other stuff. It's just, I mean, you know, that is a guy who really wants to come back and pitch again and make a difference and really, you know, be an incredibly successful baseball player like he is threatened to be on so many different occasions. Real shame for Trevor.
And as us Braves fans, excuse us, listeners, but we're both Braves fans, so I need to know what your thoughts are about the latest news on Mike Soroka, who, of course, is supposedly the Braves ace. We were hopeful he would be back within a couple of weeks. That's now looking rather ambitious.
Yeah, it's a shame. I mean, he'd had his Achilles. He'd completely torn his Achilles, so that's been out for nearly a year. This is now a shoulder injury. The official line is he maybe tried to come back too quickly and force stuff. I mean, he did seem to be slightly ahead of schedule and was ramping up and looking good.
Yeah.
I think he's just going to have to go and relax for another 4 weeks. I've got him on the injured list in a couple of leagues. I'm now less happy with that pick than I was during the draft. You know, I'm now thinking I could have picked up. He probably was, I don't know, somewhere in the top 200, certainly. I'm now thinking, what else could I have done with that pick? It's a shame. I mean, he is.
It's a risk reward pick, though, isn't it? I mean, you have to accept that sometimes it doesn't pay off.
But we talked about the Braves' thinness at pitching, and you know, we are Braves fans, and you know, Smiley looked great the other night, Drew Smiley, but he doesn't have a fantastic injury record. Soroka being injured now, it's quite thin.
Max Fried got a bit.
Week's Hail Mary, then we might have an answer. But
okay, interesting. And just by the way, just to give you some confidence, Anthony Watson, for those rugby fans out there, I obviously live in a massive hardcore Bath fan, had a very serious Achilles injury, and he was out for about a year plus. But he has come back and he's every bit as good as he ever was playing for England. And I think it's a shoe-in for the British and Irish Lions as well. So, you can come back. I know the demands of pitching a baseball 100 miles per hour is a little bit different on an Achilles heel to what he does. But there is proof from another sport that it is possible to come back and be every bit as good. So fingers crossed.
That is actually extremely reassuring, Jonathan.
Good. That was my intention, mate, because I know fellow Braves fans, we're struggling at the moment with the start of the team.
Yeah. It's not been a good April so far for Braves fans, has it?
No. Right, we're moving on to perhaps always the most popular part of the show, section number three, the small early suitcase. Onboard luggage only this early, I'm afraid. So this is we're being sponsored by Ryanair. No, we're not. There's loads of other very wonderful airlines. We could be one of them, and I'm not allowed to mention one specifically. So that was.
I think
be a
we
joke,
should probably go for one maybe that goes somewhere. You know, Maldives Air or Air Mauritius might be kind
of. Doesn't charge you for using the toilet. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So the definition of a suitcase, I do need to remind our listeners, is that this player has to be less than 20% rostered in all ESPN leagues. So if you go and look at a player in any ESPN league, on average, they have to be registered with less than 20% of all teams. So where are we starting, Jimbo?
We're going to start only with a couple this week, because I say it's so early and there is so much, judging by the leagues, that there's so much movement with players coming in and out that I think there's a lot on waiver-wise, even at 20, 30, 40% rostered. So there are players to pick up. But if you're in a deeper league, one hitter I would definitely take a look at is Luis Arraez of the Minnesota Twins. So rostered in less than 20% of leagues, playing second base. The key is he is leading off for the Twins. We know the importance of leadoff men. We talk about that a lot. He gets on base at a tremendous clip. Say if you're in an OBP league, really, really valuable. But I think even if you're just a Twins fan, really interested, is this for real now? So he got a home run last night, which is very unlike him. He always gets on base. But any leadoff man for a team that's going to win a lot of games like the Twins, for a team that scores loads of runs like the Twins, is a great place to be. So him for a hitter. Pitchers, Drew Smyly looked really good the other night for the Braves. I was really surprised he was rostered in less than 20% of leagues. And somebody you know I like is Tarek Skubal of Detroit. Again, yep. I'm surprised his first one. I'm surprised he's rostered so infrequently. And a couple of closers, there's been a huge amount of churn, but actually two of the beneficiaries. Ian Kennedy looks like he's the closer in Texas. He's got the first two saves there, rostered only in about 15% of leagues. And Jake Diekman, with the injury to Trevor Rosenthal, Diekman's going to get the first crack, by the look of it, at being the Oakland closer. So both of those guys not rostered in that many leagues, certainly worth a look.
And have you got any long-term predictions in terms of it hasn't happened yet, but perhaps someone you think might, say, for instance, pick up a closer deal that then obviously enhances their fantasy value?
We talked about this, didn't we, this morning, and I think it's interesting. We were talking about Corey Knebel. So this is about the Los Angeles Dodgers pen. Kenley Jansen, if you go back 3 or 4 years, was arguably the best closer, or certainly in the top two, him and Aroldis, and he's been slipping further and further down that list. And yeah, I mean, if I had to pick a team that really needed somebody to shut things down at the end of the game and had a bit more risk than they should do, Kenley Jansen would be that person. Corey Knebel has looked really, really great to start the season. And you remember he got nearly 60 saves for the Milwaukee Brewers just a couple of years ago before, again, he was out with a long-term injury. I could see him easily overtaking Blake Treinen. And yeah, that would be a really... I don't think it's impossible that he'll be the Dodgers closer by the All-Star break.
Okay, if you've got the bench spot, maybe that's a pickup to consider. Now, Hail Mary, my absolute favourite part of the show.
I know.
This is when you really do have to put your head on the block.
Yeah, the weight on the shoulders is going on. I'm happy with this week's, though. For once, I'm happy with this.
Okay, well, let me just explain to our listeners what a Hail Mary is. Obviously, the suitcase is less than 20% rostered in ESPN leagues. A Hail Mary has to be rostered in less than 1%. So we are truly talking, supposedly, the dregs of the barrel. Who have you found for us that is anything but dregs?
This week, I mean, again, remembering a Hail Mary is exactly that. This is the kind of thing that's either meant to help you win your league from nowhere, or we forget about it in 2 weeks and forget that I've even mentioned this name. But this week's Hail Mary, I'm only help with the pronunciation here, is Huascar Ynoa of the amazing Atlanta Braves.
Yay!
We never have any Braves in the suitcase.
We don't, do we? Hail Mary. Absolutely. Which is probably a good
Huascar
thing.
Huascar Ynoa, young guy. We actually got him in a trade from the Twins a few years ago, and for the life of me, I've just forgotten who it was. It was for was it Garcia? Well, it was one of the starting pitchers we had for about 3 days, and then passed on to the Twins. Had him back, young guy, came in the other day and did 5 innings, no runs. Looked really, really good. And he's got two, I would say, winnable pitch matchups coming up in the next week. So he's got the Marlins, and then he's got somebody else who I can't remember, but certainly two winnable matchups. And I say, after he's done three games, I think we will have a much better idea. But yeah, rostered in 0.9% of leagues.
Jimbo.
If you can't get on that, who knows?
You said he's got to start against the Marlins. Now, I love the Marlins pitching, but at the moment, their hitting's even more anemic than the Braves. So that is a great start for him. I mean, if that's an opportunity. So yeah, I think that's a great shout. Have you got anybody else? Can you give us more than one? Are you hedging your bets?
It's so hard at this. If you want a real outside, as I say, we mentioned Jake Diekman there, the Oakland closer apparent. He hasn't started the season brilliantly. On the other hand, a guy called Lou Trevino has started the season really strong.
Very good golfer as well, apparently.
He's
a very good golfer as well, apparently. I know it's not spelled the same, but it was too corny to ignore.
We managed. Yeah, I genuinely thought we might make it through today without.
Hey, it's Masters weekend. What can I say? No, no. Justin Rose was leader.
Justin Rose. But yeah, so yes, Lou Trevino.
Not Lee Trevino. Yeah.
Not Lee Trevino. No. Lou Trevino. Has been mentioned by the Oakland manager as being a possibility to share that job with Jake Diekman. So again, rostered in less than 1% of leagues. If you're really struggling for somebody on the close, well, his ratios have looked good. We're only a week in. That would be something else. But yeah, that's as deep as I'm going this week, John.
Fantastic. Right, we're going to bring the program to a close. Before we do, I need you to tell me what's been your favorite story of the week, because I have to say, I can't remember a season in recent years where there's just been so many entertaining stories. We already mentioned a couple, the Yerminator, and obviously my favorite, he's so bad, he's Akil Badu. We love Akil. Is there a story out there that you particularly got your teeth into that you just love, brought a smile to your face?
No, I mean from a Braves point of view, it was Huascar's start the other night, and actually, you know, the Braves have been really up against it, and you know, in a theoretical bullpen game to go five innings. But I think the other thing I'd pick on is actually the Orioles. So the Orioles have had a really good start. They're a team that are a franchise that have had some really rough years in the last 5 years. I just think it's great for baseball to see them starting really exciting. John Means looking really strong. So I think it'd be great for the AL East to have a resurgent Orioles. I think we're a few years off that, but I think that's a, I like to see things shared about, Johnny. So yeah, seeing teams that didn't do that well last year starting off strong is good for baseball.
Okay, well, I have to say the reason I asked the question was that I just loved watching Ohtani's first start. Watching a man pitch 101 mile per hour in the opening, top of the first and bottom of the first, hitting a home run with an exit velocity of 115, which apparently is the hardest hit homer of the season. I mean, yeah. How talented is this boy? You don't have to be an Angels fan to just rejoice and indulge. And I want to watch it every time he starts. I want to watch that. That's the appeal. And we talked recently about the need for superstars. There's a superstar, a global superstar. It's a great story, isn't it? You've got to love that.
Absolutely. He's amazing. And your point about superstars is incredibly well made. We've talked about this. Baseball needs more household names around the world. It's such a, it's such an amazing sport, such a fascinating sport on every level. But it needs players who can really take it stratospheric to audiences around the world.
Baseball does need household names. And thankfully, in the UK, fantasy baseball has got an up-and-coming household name. His name is James Holden. What a legend you are, buddy. Thank you so much. By the way, for all our listeners, Jimbo, appearing talking fantasy baseball on Talk Sport Radio, none other than James Holden, ladies and gentlemen. It's official. He is the number one fantasy pundit.
We did indeed, but yeah, appear.
But you did. I taught baseball, mate. I taught baseball. I didn't talk fantasy. You're the man that taught
great fun.
It was.
For all the fantasy fans out there and all the baseball fans who listen, because I know, you know, vast swathes of the listeners actually don't even play fantasy. They just like hearing two slightly odd blokes talking about fantasy. But yeah, again, that's a whole host of new people passionate about American sport, passionate about baseball. So really great, and many thanks to TalkSport for having me on.
Absolutely. And massive thanks to Nat Coombs, of course, who made it happen. Thank you as well for listening in. We want to get in touch. We want to hear from you. Don't forget, email us at behindhomeplatepod@gmail.com. That's behindhomeplatepod@gmail.com. Or contact us on Twitter at BHPpod, or me directly on Johnny M. Gould, or Jimbo on @Jam99. Jimbo, it's fast, it's furious as ever. It's fulfilling. It's fantasy. We love it.
It is. It's also got dark, Johnny, as I've kind of realized that I'm sort of disappearing into the gloom against the black yeah, well, our new brand, the Behind Home Plate branding, and I am sort of sinking gently into it.
Well, you know, we've gone technical with these virtual backgrounds. I'm not sure they're working, if I'm really honest. But there you go. Yeah, it's been lovely, Jimbo. I know I need to let you go. It's fantastic having your company, and fingers crossed that my team's doing a little bit better. By the way, in the Rookie League, I am in the middle of the biggest battle of my life. It can go either way. I think I'm 5-4-1 up. So we're tied in one, and we're really close in virtually every round. I think it's Clive I'm playing against. It's an absolute...
Western Mud Snakes.
That's it. You're against, Mud Snakes. Yeah. Mud Snakes, I tell you. And they are taking me through the mire as we speak. So we're down to the wire. We've only got a couple of days to go. So wish me luck on that one. I know you keep telling me I'm not allowed to win, but I'm sorry. It's not in my nature, Jimbo. Jimbo, as always, thank you for your company. And thank you, everyone, for listening. You've been in the best seats in the house behind me. Until next week, take good care and stay safe.